You're ready.
Call our regular session, Holston County Commissioners, Monday, June 20th, meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We had Willie Sturgeon. Tyler did report it on the website about Mr. Sturgeon coming. It was concerning back taxes on the sportsman bar, and we don't have anything really involved in that, so we're going to refer him to county council.
Okay.
So that's why he's not here.
Thank you, Tom. It's actually, he lives in the town of Monterey, or facilities in Monterey. And that falls under the municipality of Monterey. So he would need to approach the Monterey town council in regards to any of those. And then if there is a follow-up in county-wise, then the council would need to be approached.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there an addition to Brad?
Yeah, and actually, Brad Vanell is going to be talking to us at 6:10. We got you on there, Brad. Thank you. Terry Ruff, come on up to the county highway.
Terry has Jeff Larrison of United Consultants with him today. We want to thank Jeff for coming up from
Westfield,
Indianapolis. So. Thanks for your extra efforts.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Commissioners, tonight we're here to review the grant application that Glasgow County is planning to make for the Community Crossings Matching Grant. It's the 50-50 grant that's the new program that was just put out in the last couple of months, the new legislation. And, So what I wanted to review with you real quickly is the elements that make up the grant application. In order for us to complete the application, we want to make sure that we have your buy-in, and ultimately a part of the application also includes a letter from the commissioners showing your commitment to the project. So real quickly, you guys have already seen the top page. I wasn't aware of that, but that's good. The Community Crossing Matching Grant and information and what it spells out.
Yep.
We put together the application and basically filled in all the blanks for you guys. So it's ready to go. It has all the pertinent information and feels a very strong application.
Let's go bring that.
Oh, how did I do that? I would have misspelled Alaska. I got that right all the time. I'll fix that. Thank you for pointing that out. Rookie mistake. So we have a grant application here, and it includes all of the breakdown of the information. And what we use to put this application together is this engineer's report. And this is a very detailed analysis that we go to basically bring it from the 30,000 foot level down to the nuts and bolts of the project. In fact, we've been asked by NDOT to train their estimators based on what they've seen in our engineer's reports, how we estimate projects, because we've been found to be so accurate with our projects. So we put together one of these so that we could nail the project cost down as close as possible for you. And then we'll also include an electronic copy of this in the application. So when NDOT sees this, they'll know a couple things, that the accuracy of the numbers can be relied upon, and also that Glasgow County has gone to the extra step of putting one of these together, as well as your drainage, the hydraulic study. And we pointed that out in the application. And it gives you guys added credibility. You've got more skin in the game now.
Correct.
So between the engineer's report, the application, we have a digital map that we've given Jessica that she'll include as part of the application. And then the final piece is the letter. They call it the financial commitment letter. And it's not clear yet as to which costs they will cover, but it's for sure going to be 50% of construction. We put everything in there, and we're going to ask for the design, land acquisition, construction inspection, which is only part-time, and then the construction itself. And so we put it all in there, and then the letter basically says that Pulaski County will be responsible for costs above and beyond what the 50% matching grant would cover.
Jeff, I want to say for myself, and I'm sure the behalf of the commissioners here in our highway department, job well done. To add to that, Jeff, one of the things that Pulaski County had to do to even just to potentially cover this or be a viable applicant was to complete an asset management program.
Right.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Pulaski County Highway Department has it going. They have the asset management program complete. I saw it. There might be some few minor fluff they might want to add to it, but I already talked to Jessica. That was just my looking at it. We know exactly what each road is rated, whether it be a 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10. 10 is a brand new road. 10 can only be a 10 for 1 year. After that 1 year, it goes down to a 9 automatically. And it's our job as the county to maintain these roads to at least a level of 5 or above. When we get roads below the 4 or 3 rating, 2 or even 1, and 1 is very...
I don't think we have any 1.
No, that is a category. That is a category, but... We definitely have roads 2 and 3, and I think there's almost 200 plus, just a little 200 miles of 3 or 4s.
The vast majority is just 5 or
yeah,
above.
5 or above, and that's the goal.
We're in pretty good shape, I guess.
Yes. And so what I want to say to this is, not only did Pulaski County do this with a lot of assistance from Jeff and United Consulting, but they mainly did this in-house, thus saving tremendous amount of excess money we don't need to spend. In that plan, I actually saw something that was very rewarding for myself and Pulaski County. They actually have a 5-year plan on how to get these roads that are 3 or 4 back to at least a 5 or above. And kudos to them. This is what the council needs. When they see a number come up, maybe we need this amount of dollars for this. Now they have the facts to back it up. They have the data. And I hope they would have the support of the commissioners and the council at that time to support County Highway in the request. So, in saying that, it'd be my motion, without any other discussion can happen, but to move forward on signing this letter of support for Bridge 5,
154,
thank you. That is my motion, unless you have further discussion.
I guess, Terry, not the budget, the bottom line is the budget. Larry's been out there, and we've kind of been talking back and forth on this whole issue. It's been back and forth since last year. Our first thing was we were trying to get a culvert put in there. Bottom line is it's cheaper. This 50-50 thing comes up, and you're talking half the cost.
It's changed, right.
The bottom line is the bridge will last 50, 60 years, called max 20, 30 years. You don't want to get that. So that was what we was looking at to try to save last night down some money. But now this 50-50, if we get accepted, we have the price, so why not go with that?
Exactly. Amen.
It also addresses your top priority on your bridge inspection report.
Correct.
We don't have to worry about the soil types, cleaning the ditch, somebody coming along 5 years from now on the lower, you know, aren't getting that with a drainage issue, because we've got to start the Pulaski County working together up there, and it can be kind of a fist tech, get everybody on the same page. So this is what we come up with. So.
It says it's 110 vehicles per day use this bridge. in his report.
Doesn't count the farm traffic or the motorcycle riders.
That's my house. Jeff counted the cars 3 days, wasn't it? That was your average?
Yeah.
Ten, I believe.
Yeah.
So, busy road.
What I'm getting at is that bridge goes down that area.
Exactly.
Really area.
I know, that's the main connector. And I can remember back in the day, you would see maybe 20 cars a day. Right. And very few trucks.
Now you stand on change 10 minutes,
sure.
Dollars would be it.
Sure.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, that was the latest in the world, right?
Any more comments on that? Or that said, I will, I have a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, and a second to sign this Community Crossing Smetsy grant application. And all those in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Any opposed? No. Motion carried.
Okay. Do we have an official copy, Jeff?
No, yeah, they're all the same. They're all one letterhead.
I'll start it here.
Okay.
But, sir, my update from the last week's conference for our Northwest District. At that time, NDOT had only received one application for this 50-50 match program at that time. So
that must be why they extended it.
And while you mentioned that, let me just go ahead and give everyone an update for the public that I believe has been getting pushed out. But the 50-50 grant program of the Community Crossings Magic Grant Program has been extended deadline of 2 weeks. Thus, the awarding and the review and then the rewarding is also delayed 2 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. Pushes out to possibly September before we start receiving notification that we have been accepted and or get the funds. With that being said, I asked the question at my conference to the deputy director of the NDOT of the LaPorte District. How long can this money be sitting in the account before it has to be used? Because this program's been delayed so long, there is absolutely no way that any vendor can possibly complete all the projects that is being sent to a vendor or we're doing in-house by the end of the season of doing paving the roads or working on the bridges, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, they said, you know, we have year 2017, 18, but if we get out to 19, we're going to start questioning what's the delay. So that money will be in savings in the rainy day fund until the project is, once it's been approved and gets completed. So don't worry about that timeline. But the state's in charge of this, and they recognize the timeline restrictions they have placed on the counties and towns.
So, in other words, you said, I believe at one time it was August 4th,
you're
supposed to know now it's September 4th.
It's been delayed there, yeah. There's been emails I've sent to Jessica, the highway department, and a couple more came out today.
Please don't throw that in, too.
Yes.
So, the bottom line is we'll push that off till later on in the fall, I guess.
Correct. This project here, which is County Road 1400 West between 800 South and 1000 West, it is another project that we're going to submit for this 50-50 community matching grant program. We have up to $1 million of different projects that we can submit, whether it be the community of Star City or the community of Pulaski, and working with those roads. Those will be submitted individually, and the state will rate them. And where it falls, as long as the county as an entity doesn't go over $1 million and does get approved, this project will be approved. All the check marks are made.
We don't have to get in the middle of it, I guess, until we figure out if we're approved, because I don't think you get it reimbursed if you're already...
Correct. Yep. So, yes, this would be, if you're submitting it, delay it until you, delay construction until you get approval.
So $27,000.
Yep, $27,000. So if we cut that in half, that's even better. And that message is for each community, Winnemac, Monterey, Francisville, Madarieville. These projects are delayed, But yet the money can sit in there. Each community has up to $1 million that they're able to apply up to if they have that in their rainy day fund or two other types of funds. So it's a win-win for the community. Yeah, I sound like a politician here, but hey, I got five more months, and I'm still going to work till the last day. But we're getting the word out to the communities. We're getting the word out to the highway departments. Great job getting the asset management. That is the key to any future projects. And again, thank you.
Okay. Larry, but I'm going to have to sign another copy, and we'll give it to Terry before he leaves.
Okay.
We always appreciate your good questions. Thank you, Terry. Commissioner, thank you very much.
Question for you.
Sure.
Yes. When we gave you $10,000 to the H&M, is there any way you can get any of that back?
That's part of the, I believe the consulting is part of the matching grant program, correct?
You know what? That's a good question. We have not added that number in. We did round it up. We rounded up about, because they take it to $5,000 increments.
Signed, yeah.
The price of this was rounded up. It actually ended up taking the whole project about $8,000 up. So we're close to covering that 10, but we should include that. That's your point.
I know engineering is part of it. So,
yeah.
Well, we want consulting to be in there too.
If we want the bridge or the culvert, we had to do the.
Yeah.
Hydraulic studies.
Yes,
we're going to do the studies. Yep. So it wasn't money to waste. The bottom line is we can get half of it back. So we'll get it on point.
Yes.
Well, I'm not in. We fix that. I have to go fix Waymack anyway. I'm just
Waymack.
Come on.
It's like I have to fix it.
I should do that $10,000.
I still think you can go to Dairy Queen and buy us all a blizzard.
My apologies.
Bottom line is Jeff was the main item for me to be here tonight, I guess. So thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
All your help, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Tim McCraffer's going to drive home in the rain.
Probably.
He's a fast driver.
We'll be there. The only other thing I have, I guess, is what I was going to say. We Gary and boys started blade missing today.
Yeah.
We have 1 mile on our event already, so we got 29 to go, I guess.
I'm going to ask him about this one here. Are you a stage, Terry? Or
yeah.
Okay, you're staying. All right.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's it, I guess. So, any other questions?
No, I think we've been.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you,
guys.
Sorry for. Oh. Come on, Esther.
That's all right. How are you, John?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, how are you?
Okay, well, we'll just get right to it. We are here to share with you that the primary election, the changes made in the operation of using a vote center model, which you guys approved, thank you, and the purchase of new equipment that we had, the e-poll pads, or the electronic poll pads, which were iPads, which a lot of people check in, the relocation of early absentee voting to the Alaska County Library. All those changes saw very positive results from the voting people in our community and from our end on election day as well. Running the election and the election workers had all positive comments. We had absolutely no technical glitches of any type that would cause any future concern, which I know there are some people that might have thought that changing stuff around could cause problems, but there wasn't. There was no confusion on where people could vote. We did a tremendous advertising campaign thanks to the local media and the two local parties and also with our budget. So every week there was something in the paper, multitudes of information in local media and on Facebook, etc. So we got the word out just like you and the council asked us to, and I think people responded. We had a 41.23 voter turnout, which includes absentee voting, which our absentee voting was off the charts. You have that number?
Three times the average.
Three times what we average on a presidential primary. In other words, people like to get it done and get it over with, I think, is the key there. Of course, there's a lot of things that go into an election, like interesting candidates and local races and things like that, sometimes that decide whether people vote. We have all of that this time, so that was part of it. But I think that the amount of access and information that we provided was very contributory to the high turnout, as well as the fact that it was super easy to vote. You walk in, you use your license, you scan in, it prints a receipt, you sign the screen, and you're on your way. I had, I'll just share a really positive story. A couple, the husband and wife live in the Monroe Township area. They voted at the Plaskett County Library. He did. He voted early. He's a businessman in town. On election day, his wife hadn't voted early yet. They were on their way up to the Chicagoland area for family reasons. They swung by Maderaville Vote Center, and she voted. That's exactly how it was supposed to be. You, no matter where you are on election day, you cannot say, I can't get to my polling place. Laura, do you have any other further comments?
No. You know, we've kind of given you the rundown of the positives, and they were overwhelming. But we've also looked at how to continue the process of improving, and what would we do different? I think we're looking at one vote center, adding another voting machine there.
That we already have.
Yeah, we already have it. And looking at some ways, Winamax Vote Center took a huge volume of voters. And we're looking at ways now to meet their needs. We're in a kind of a positive situation here because the contract that you all approved with the upgrades and everything with the machines, MicroVote was able to do that with some equipment or with parts that they had. They thought they had to order them at a new price. They had them in stock at an older price that was reduced. And so we were given a credit on some of our election services, election day services. And so actually we'll be coming back later with a more formative plan of how to meet the needs of that volume in terms of personnel, maybe equipment. But we're in a good position right now, especially with it about to be budget time, to take a look at the most efficient way to meet the needs that we have identified thus far. So.
The probably, again, the one thing that we just want to point out is that this has been Laura and I, as the election board, in conjunction with Christy. She is just a tremendous kind of clerk and member of our election board, tremendous. And she's had her fair share of woes. You know, things weren't budgeted right for some of the stuff she needed. Wrong numbers were given to us. She had some woes with her voter registration person, so she's really been a huge part of our success. And also the commissioners and the council, every time, you know, we work together, I think that everything turns out better. We are going to be meeting again next month to discuss adding it's called a satellite location for absentee early voting, the two Saturdays before the election. We're required to have at least one absentee place, and that is going to still be at the Winamac Library. We are in conversation with Sally Sharp of the Francisville Salem Township Library to add, and then we have to vote on it and discuss it further, but that is the direction we're headed, to maybe add a couple Saturdays before election to people that might live on the other side of the county. So a little bit more access. It is not convenient to come all the way to Winamac on a Saturday if you live in Francisville or Maderaville. So just opening up that door of convenience.
And that equipment is available and on hand at this point already.
My response to this is fantastic. Great job.
Thank you.
We have noticed over the past several months, not years, the message being delivered by the election board to us. And yes, we have been listening. This has been a win-win, not just for the election board and the council and the commissioners, but win-win for the community and all of our voters.
Yeah.
You have the right team together, and that's awesome. Not always do we have the right team together and it clearly shows. Keep that team intact. Keep the vision. keep the vision going. Yes, the satellite in Madera, Land or Franciville is a great vision. The other necessary changes, great. Jeff Johnson's in the audience. I'd like to put this out to him. Out there at the county highway on that community portion side of the door, building is to be my recommendation that he would budget that renovation to make that a ADA accessible push button entrance so that one person in a wheelchair can get in that door.
Is that most of the time I think the door is propped open?
Correct. But that's not just for our election, but for any future events that are held in that facility. That is becoming the go-to place for 4-H, for
everything.
Well over 5,000 people use that facility, I believe, every year. And by expanding our election, that's just going to add to that number count. So hopefully Jeff Ferguez was asking, and we would have the support of the commissioners and the council on that recommendation to get that facility to that level.
I would also, if I may, like to begin, I know it's they just do their job, but R.B. Walters, you guys share him with us,
yes,
and the planning process, and on election day. I told you that there's no technical glitches, but there's humans that work on election day, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and everyone's tired, and, you know, can't figure out how to turn this thing or that on. Nothing was broken, but there was things that had to be done, and we had our two mechanics, is what we call them, the people that work on machines, and RV was out, and we were out, and we were all over the place helping them turn their iPads on, things like that, but RV was tremendous. He comes to our meetings now, which is really helpful because he's got a lot of insight on where things are in the community. He steered us towards Sheriff Richline to have those hotspots.
Yes.
Well, at Star City, there was a connectivity issue. We wouldn't stay totally connected all the time, which didn't have any effect on the integrity of the election, but it was frustrating for the ladies checking people in. It was slow. No problem, RV, and got the hotspot going down there, and thanks to Sheriff Richline for sharing and for RV for being on it. People that the different community places where we voted, they all offered us, you know, people were concerned in this day and age about emergency, what happens in an emergency. Well, you know, you make it work. Well, you know, you can't say that anymore. So everybody had a plan, you know, with emergency generators and things like that. Thanks to them for, you know, getting that information and being willing to share it with us. It just all panned out. And then the sheriff's office posted a deputy during the return process because a couple of times we've had, you know, concerns. So they were just there to be there for us. It was countywide team effort. Everybody was there, and it's the way it should be. It doesn't matter what party you are or how you voted that day. Everybody works together. And we've got a lot more stuff to come before you guys. It's just going to keep coming. We invite you to come to any of our meetings. We come to yours.
Send me an email, please. I know it exactly.
We've been working on our budget. Next year's a pretty simple year. We pay for our basic contracts that you guys will have but before you, is just to maintain the equipment. There's no election. We can't have an election after a presidential year, so we just do bare minimum, pay for the things that have to be paid for.
I might catch off guard here, but
yeah,
there's one community that is not in cycle with all of our elections, and where that does add to the cost of the overall election board. Is there any update? You're looking at
the two towns.
Two towns.
Yeah, there are two towns that have the opportunity to save themselves and help our county save money by passing a resolution that allows them to conduct their municipal or town election in the year, same year we do a midterm congressional election. You know, we will keep reaching out to them and ask them to do that. Okay. This was the first
to talk with them.
This was this past year, last year, when that occurred, was the first time that we actually, the election board in recent years, to our knowledge, actually implemented the state prescribed, how you pay for it. Because I think it was just kind of arbitrary in the past. I don't know how, if any money was collected. We weren't here for that. So we actually got the county reimbursed for what they were legally due, which was quite a bit of money. And then there was a school board that had a referendum and an off year, and that was their choice, and they paid for it.
Yeah.
The county actually paid for it.
Well, I'm glad you're on.
And Christy has supplied those two town clerks with the forms, the paperwork, the links, everything that he needs for that process.
Great. Well, so, and moreover, we're going to be, like, next year, because it's an off year, most people would think the election board wouldn't meet, but we're going to continue. Another thing, we like each other, kind of. And another thing we're going to do is suggest to the two towns that did make those changes, and the other two were suggesting, is to consider with their local party people, the party chairman and the committees, local committees, is could we get rid of the possibility of a town convention? Because is it antiquated? Is it outdated? Is it really up to all the codes and stuff? I mean, a town convention, a couple hundred people might show up. Whereas if they pass a resolution, we could have a primary election for them. So that's something we want to talk to them about. Mm-hmm. The town has to pass a resolution. They need to know what people want. So these are things, and we're just doing it to add validity to. A lot of people don't have a clue what a town convention is.
Sure.
And they don't attend them, and then they feel left out.
So. And there have been times when 10 people have attended
to
make the decisions for their slate, and that's
correct.
You know.
Well, thank you very much for attending and the update.
You have anything else?
John, I know this goes back years. We talked about the smoke center deal, and
yeah.
I'm just so tickled this happened. So
we're not the first county in Indiana to do it, and I'm very thankful for that because those counties have been through. Trying to figure it out. We're not the last county. We're in the top 26.
Yep.
So we aren't last. And
that's great.
And everybody we talk to tells you that this is a vote center plan and the model that we adopted as a county, the Commissioners Council and the Election Board, and that the state approved, it's fluid. So as things need fixed, if we need to add a couple more workers to the Winnemac polling place or another machine, it's fluid, it's exchangeable and updatable.
We will continue to do amendments
and
add them to our plan downstate.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Brad Benio, come on up.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, you.
Great. I don't have a whole lot other than this report and a couple things, so I don't take up a lot of time. Keep things moving.
Thank you.
Transfer station report looked a lot like last year during May, other than the dollar amount. Difference. The average per ton is a little higher. And I still say that's due to the bag increase.
Correct.
Recycling sales was nice. I got rid of some aluminum cans at a good price. Cardboard went up another $10. It's at $90 right now.
You have cardboard down $43.83 a ton. $43.83 tons you sold. And so the selling price was what?
$90.
Okay.
And we had a sale of some miscellaneous recyclables for $1,500. So overall, it was a pretty good month for sales, topping out at 58 tons. Inventory is down, but I've been moving stuff as the price is good.
Sure.
We didn't have any outstanding big repairs this month. It was typical. So,
do you want to update us on the repair of the
transfer station?
Not that and the forklift, I think.
Oh, yeah, the forklift did come back the next day after the last month's meeting. It's working wonderful. It's just like a new one.
Very good.
And the Salt Waste District picked up all of that. And I had to put a new hub on the steer axle, new joints in it as well while they had it. So it's good to go.
The other day I was at the transfer station, had a chance to speak with Brad Sewell and Mike Oles. And they pointed out a fixed action on piece of equipment and explained a little bit about that.
We replaced the hydraulic pump ourselves and were able to retime everything, so we're saving a little bit of money by not hiring that out. And it's working just fine.
You know, the was able to fine tune the load content of the compactor regarding how much, when it's 3/4 the way full, there's no more guesswork. Light comes on, hey, you're 3/4 the way full. Then you start zeroing down, looking at how much I need.
The last two loads were 10.5 heavier too, so we're getting more on per box.
More on per box, less loads to the landfill, so this is wonderful. Brad came to the council last week and asked for roughly $26,000 to do an addition to the transfer station structurally on the outside to allow him to have two 35-yard containers set up so that our contractors can go directly the way in and then go directly to those dumping sites there at the transfer station, and thus again saving trips to the landfill, thus because we have larger containers.
It'd be less wear and tear on everything.
And in the future, with the semi that we currently have down there, a future goal is to purchase a semi-size open-top container. I don't know the cubic yards of one of those, but we would then thus even reduce the trip to the landfill and incorporate a piece of equipment that was free to us in regards to the semi and get total use out of it. That's my vision and Brad's vision of the transfer station. We have one of the best transfer stations and recycling centers in the district and outside the district, I believe, and the future of that is endless at this time.
I would mention that the funds were not an additional, those were a transfer from three other line items going into the building fund, so it came out of the budget.
Correct. Yep. You're right. No additional money was appropriated, so Brad and the crew at the transfer station and recycling, thank you for all that you're doing, and it shows the dedication clearly once you go out there.
Thank you. I've got one other request before I go. The safety vests that the employees wear are very, very hot.
Okay.
And they have requested that if I could replace those with t-shirts.
Yes.
The lime green t-shirts.
Yes. Go for it.
Okay.
Hats, shirts, gloves, whatever. Whenever we can identify our employee, whether it be the highway department or people that are dealing with the public and heavy equipment, the reflected wear should be mandatory. If you're not wearing it, why are you working here? Because I look at it this way. You get involved in an accident and your life is taken and you weren't wearing your vest, then I got to explain to your family as to why we neglected a standard that's in our policy book. Now, unless that employee wants to write that letter out themselves to their family, their family member, I purposely chose not to wear my vest today, got out of my vehicle, and bam, now I'm in the hospital laid up, crippled, and or deceased because I failed to wear my reflective gear. It's a foul. So, yes. Thank you.
That's all I have, unless you have anything else.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. But very nice, thank you.
I think he hurt you there.
Thanks, bud.
Okay. Nathan's here. Come on up.
evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
How are you? Another day of paradise. Number one, Bud, you were there. The county-owned property has been rezoned. I did learn, however, there may be some questions about the process, and they may need to revisit that just to make sure that the county council confirms the planning commission's recommendation. But they did agree, the planning commission agreed to it, and the town council agreed with the recommendation, so we're done with that.
Great.
Now it's in the hands of the commissioners and the realtor to make something happen. County Road 60 West, the project working with Braun on potentially vacating that. I met with Andrew Roberts and Cindy Garnett, and they brought over a copy of the first proposal and discussed it with me. And then Highway has a copy of it, I believe I left with them. I know I discussed it with them. I've discussed it with SNS Podcast. We're still working out a lot of details because, quite frankly, it's just really difficult, more so than I perhaps initially realized, to find a solution that, you know, improves safety in that very heavily trafficked stretch between 14 and 25 without really limiting even bronze traffic, but SNS traffic and
everybody else's
future traffic if we ever develop the 37 acres that we still have in the industrial park. So, you know, I take some ideas back to them after I spoke with SNS and the highway department, and we'll see what things go. We're still working on it, but not quite as much good news as I'm hoping to be able to report right now, just because, you know, they looked at some options that would work well if they didn't think that potential exists for even more construction down the road in some of the property that the company owns or leases from the Bourne family, and so it's kind of like playing Tetris or Jenga, but, you know, with a lot of outside players at stake who aren't involved in the direct conversation that we do, but just need to be considered.
Good job, Andrew, on trying to facilitate this. It doesn't happen every day that we're having to do this. We're exploring new territories, a new way of thinking, et cetera, et cetera. Keep working on that, and yes, it won't happen overnight.
Well, speaking of new ways of thinking, the Westside Industrial Park project, I believe I had revealed previously that the owners, the family's accountant, had advised that they needed to address capital gains burden. And so we were looking at the possibility of finding another property they might find as part of it to acquire as a 1031 exchange. And then we had kicked around the idea of looking at the county farm property, and instead of working with them to find an outside property, seeing how that would come out in terms of value and doing some sort of land swap. They're not interested in the land swap. The accountant said not to worry about the capital gain. So I don't know if he just decided that the burden wasn't so significant as to throw a wrench into the gears, or if he has some accounting tactics he knows that he can diminish the burden otherwise.
Right.
That said, we still went ahead and had John Albright conduct an appraisal of the county farm ground. Just the 97 acres south of 60 South on either side of 75 West.
How many acres?
It's about 97. So the acreage on the north side of the county road that is zoned industrial surrounding the county home, we did not include in that. But there are roughly 97 acres on either side of 75 West, south of 60 South. So we had him conduct that appraisal anyway, and also had him do an update of the Madariaville property appraisal because land values have decreased fairly measurably since we had it done in October.
Right.
So the 97 acres southwest of here came out at $6,360 per acre, or $615,000. And the new appraisal at Madariaville, 55 and a half acres, dropped from 96.22 in October to 82.88, a drop of about 1,333 acre, for a total of 460,000 for the entire 55 and a half acres. So my hope, I'm not necessarily looking for any final decisions motion tonight, but if you guys are give me enough of a green light to explore it further, I'd like to go back to the CDC and convene the Industrial Park Board to look at the possibility of the county's selling the county farm ground, and then using that, the proceeds of that sale, transferring it from county general into the industrial development fund to use to acquire that so that we can use as little to no tax money as possible in this project.
Nathan, let me help clarify something. If we sold this, a piece of our property to help facilitate this transaction, we are now buying a piece of property to create an industrial park on the west side of the community involving the rail.
Yes.
My property would still be county property, which is relocating what we own, assets.
Right. It would be less land, but more valuable land. And depending, you know, like I said, there's almost a $175,000 difference in our favor at the appraisal value. Which now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to, we wouldn't have to negotiate in somewhat higher value with the property owner before they're willing to sell, but it's likely that we would be able to get it for less than what we would get for this land. So we have a little bit extra that either could stay in county general or we could set aside for part of the local match if we were to pursue a grant to install, to develop the infrastructure once we have the property.
It's complicated, Nathan.
Actually, this is simpler, I think, actually, than when we were looking at the option of pursuing a grant for the construction and acquisition and dealing with a potential 1031. Now, if this could work, if ever all the parties involved on board and we could find a willing buyer at the price the county is asking for the county farmland, we would not only have to put any, you know, we would have to put presumably no tax money toward the acquisition of that land, and it would lower our overall burden for any new grant we might apply for in the future. Obviously, that does mean that the county ends up losing the, what is it, about $20,000 a year, the current rent out here. Whether, you know, that's not my decision to make, whether that's enough every year to justify holding on to it or if it's worth making the investment over there. But that, I mean, that's a question once we've explored it with my CDC and the National Park Board, get everything lined up, see how negotiations might go and say, yes, it's good, no, it's not. But this strikes me as being the simplest way, most straightforward way to make this all happen as well. Not touching any tax-funded county property right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Who authorized you to go ahead and look at trading the county farm, my boy?
I had one-on-one conversations with these two gentlemen, and
it's all information, right?
And the expenditure was within what I'm allowed to spend. And if you will recall, the last time I sat in this seat, I explicitly invited you to come to my office. You came to ask me when the Planning Commission met and where, and then to attend the Planning Commission meeting. You did not stay for the CDC meeting immediately after the Planning Commission meeting where I first discussed this with the CDC. It is not my fault that you did not make the effort as a commissioner to discuss something that I had asked you to come discuss with me.
And I can request, and your secretary no bill to you.
Right.
But this is the, you look back in the old document when we got the deed. I don't think you have the right to sell it.
No. My point is that
trading.
I don't know about that. I would have to go read the 1896 deed.
Read it.
But what I do know is that, contrary to common misconception, there was no legal connecting of the county home and the county farm ground as far as I'll get into that, but I've read that deed, and I read the deed, and I don't think there's anything that restricts the sale of it. But as far as, you know, authorization, all we've done is had an appraisal done so that I can present this information to you, to the council, and the CDC. Understand that it's a somewhat sensitive matter that we would not want to say any more about than we absolutely have to until here and last week at the council meeting, because we're working with a potential property owner and there are sensitive negotiations to be taken under. Nothing has been done under the table. We've just been very cautious in how we handle it.
and you're discussing the 20,000 income, are you aware that that is that enough?
Wait, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
You said we get 20,000 cash rent.
Yes.
Is that your judgment that's enough or not enough?
I don't know. That's not for me to decide. I'm simply saying that's what it is.
Who is it that you're going to decide that then?
Commissioners. You have the ultimate discretion in selling any county land. I was just simply bringing up the fact that that is what the county currently receives from the current landlord, and that's on an annual contract basis. So that's going to be advised at the time.
Sorry, I think you worked with the county, so did I. But you're telling me when I have to come to you.
No, I am saying that I invited you to do so
when I was out there,
and you were not there when I was there, and I cannot be held accountable for your not being there when I'm there. I do go to meetings. I do visit local businesses. I have things that I have to do for my job, and I have to do where I have to be when I have to be there.
I have a question about your joint road with the Rollins. You may help to answer and yes, ask them. See, Matt company a month ago, Mr. Pankowski said he had a blueprint on the drawings.
He hasn't. I have only had them for about a week and a half.
So, and let's get that then before we proceed.
We're not proceeding on that.
I don't know what these have to do with each other, but actually, I was in touch with Megan Allen a month and a half, 2 months ago, and she did not follow up with me after she said that she would. So after Kevin, actually Colleen, talked with Richard, Chin, I telephoned him, I updated him on the situation, and until literally a week and a half ago, I had not seen the maps either. I don't even have electronic copies of them. I've only got the hard copies that they brought with them. And I decided that until we had moved the conversation down long farther, it wasn't even worth showing to them because it's nothing that works for them.
Well, I talked to Megan, I went to talk to Kevin that day, and he just made a call to Richard that day.
Yeah, and then as soon as I did, I had been in touch with Megan. Whether Megan and Richard communicate internally isn't my issue. I spoke with Megan, who runs the plant here in Winnemac. And I spoke with her. I stopped there as soon as I met with Vaughn and explained and gave them an update. But there was a long period of time where I was sitting waiting for Vaughn to develop it. I emailed a call once every 3 or 4 days, but until they had their first draft done, there was not a whole lot I could do. So, turning back to my update, that's where things stand. And then just a few other miscellaneous items. The HCI proposal has been approved by the state. We're just waiting for the state signature process. We've already had a number of cyclists around the area volunteer to hit some of the proposed routes. The highway department has a copy of the first draft of the route map. So if there are anything that catches their eyes, they can let us know. CRPC has a list of the locations where we want to have traffic counts done to compare options as far as traffic volume and time of day when the traffic is heaviest. We had the second farmer's market on Saturday morning. The first one was pretty disappointing, but Kristen was significantly more pleased with this week's than she keeps signing up more vendors. We're working with the Human Resources Group. We're going to conduct a countywide comprehensive wage and benefits study. And it's going to go across, we're going to, as much as you possibly can, rather than just focusing on, say, welder or laborer or secretary, sort of use whatever codes, maybe workers' comp codes. So whether you're hiring for a bank or a manufacturer, you have some general sense of what competitors for entry-level hires are paying, high-level, that sort of thing. And any company who participates will get it all be confidential. We'll get copies of the data, and then we'll have it in the office so that if Company X is interested in building in the industrial park or moving into an empty facility here, we can provide them with fairly up-to-date data on what prevailing wages look like in the county. And then finally, earlier this year, we really amplified our tourism marketing efforts for Pulaski County. We don't have evidence that it's our quote-unquote fault, but anecdotally, we are responsible for a significant increase in the population in the river this year, both Dayton County, Scott, who don't go all that far south and know what their business is, and people who are down in Alaska, I have said that they've seen a lot heavier traffic. There have been concerns about the noise. Kristen actually lives along the river, and there have been times she's wanted to throw things because her kid has just been put down for the night, and they're yelling and screaming and having a good time. Concerns about litter. So what we're going to do is implement an Adopt a River program, similar to the Adopt a Highway program. So I think there are 9 public access points in Pulaski County. We're going to buy or get donated trash receptacles for each of these, and then we're to find local businesses and residents along the river willing to adopt them. And so every once a week, they'll go out and replace the garbage liner if it needs to be cleaned up, the mess around there. Lawrence Lamer, who's on the CDC and owns the hardware store in Monterey, has already volunteered, I think, to donate. I need to follow up with him and to have his employees monitor 2 of the access points up by Monterey. We're also, one of our interns is working on, one of our interns made a list of river etiquette. And the other one, who has got design skills, has designed a draft for a sign, so we're going to have signs printed to put up the access points to, you know, common stuff, common sense things about not littering, have fun, but remember there are people who live along the riverside. We're hoping that this will help to encourage people so to keep coming, but give a little sense of comfort to people whose lives are disrupted when a couple of 25-year-old guys who just graduated from the fraternity come floating down the river with more beer than common sense. That's all I have. So any of you have any more questions?
Nathan, I'm going to show support for putting every detail possible, any option possible on the table in regards to moving forward on development of the Westside community and industrial park. Bud made a good point, is selling our land here and potentially giving up $20,000 of revenue for a piece of land. And taking that money we may get from selling the land, purchasing another facility that could potentially triple that income in regards of a different style of business, going into a point of land where it's located at, what type of business comes in here. It's options. If we buy that land over there, it could still be farmland until a development goes forward, so we would still receive revenue on that parcel. May not make the $20,000 that we're currently getting, but wouldn't be a total loss. And then once the development of the industrial park starts moving forward, then the potential revenue increase for the county, assessed value versus farmland versus structures, I think is at different rates. So in my unprofessional, educated guess, that's the way to move forward. And I would hope that future people in leadership can either make a decision or we moving forward in developing Pulaski County, making a welcome site because we have built the infrastructure. We're maintaining the infrastructure, whether it be the roads, our communication, our utilities, our schools. We have to invest in Pulaski County.
Yes.
We own it. Whether Dr. Brady might want to build a clinic that could potentially bring in hundreds or not thousands of people here into its clinic, that's a win-win for Pulaski County. Any doctor could just say, well, I've seen the direction Pulaski wants to go or thinks they want to go. And by golly, he's got several counties right around us says, we will welcome you, sir, because we recognize the opportunity to grow with welcoming anyone in their community. So a $20,000 potential loss temporarily with a potential
Again, renting out the property that we may want to buy, still renting it out, maybe losing, I don't have the numbers, but $8,000.
Based on current numbers, I guess about $6,000 a year less just because of the smaller size and just for the higher land value of the current rent.
All we're doing is moving the shells. We owned it. Let's move it over here to the west side of the community. Let's develop it. Let's capitalize on that railroad. Move it south to move it north.
And I just want to clarify. We wouldn't actually lose the entire $20,000 because the appraisal, like I said, included most of the county farm ground, but not what is on the north side.
Right.
So we'd still retain that
correct
little bit of ground.
Yes, I got 5 months left. I got still leaves at the end of the year. So it'd be my motion to grant Nathan the permission to continue bringing all the options to the table.
I'll second the motion. We don't invest in ourselves. Nobody's going to invest in us. My famous saying I use in Nathan Lapp. We'll second that motion. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carried.
Anything else, Emma?
I have one question, Nathan.
Yes, sir.
You brought up earlier this afternoon. We have a problem up on the Tip Region River in Placer County. We have a bunch of logs that's causing to do this major problem. Is there a way you can find any grants or anything?
I can look, but I think there gets into some gray area between DNR and private property.
I'm not going to touch it.
Yep. There could be grant monies out there to clean our waterways.
I do know that a few years ago, when the state still had disaster relief grant money, that there was a river clearance program. I don't know that that program is still active.
They did it in Kosciuszko County.
I believe so. I don't know if they went through with it, but I know Stark County had been looking at it for the Yellow River east of Knox. I will see if any of that is still out there, but I'm not sure.
They're trying to push it back on the farmers that own the ground along the river.
Yeah, and they're going to be responsible. And or the county. I think the county should be responsible. So then we would send our county highway out there to cut the trees and get them out of the river, but I don't see that.
I don't think that
falls under our scope.
I don't think that particular program is still out there, but I will look into it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you. Joe Moyer, come on up.
How you doing, Joe?
I'd like to come around behind you because I'm talking to everybody.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I just stand. Last joint session, County Council turned down the plan of the commissioners. I think we all know that. I do applaud the commissioners for presenting a plan. At this point, it looks like everything has come to a stop. I highly disagree with that because an audit of IDOT is going on right now. They can say you are not compliant with ADA, you're not doing anything, goodbye grant money. That's an implied threat. If we are actively working on a plan or plans, then they might postpone that decision to cancel things. I'm going to pick on one plan that was kind of presented. All of the plans that have been talked about have pros and cons to them. The plan that I'm going to talk about is for illustrative purposes only. That is Bill a single-story building off-site. It was mentioned at the county farm. We had 116 acres out there. Is that right? Okay. If you build a building and a parking lot out there, you're going to lose the rent on the farm. So that's an actual cost that goes into the building. The parking lot will go into the building. I'm not sure how we quantified it, a parking lot at this point, except an estimation. You can have a parking lot with chip and seal, or you can have it with 6 inches of hot mix. Cost is quite different. What kind of a roof you put on the building will make a large difference in the cost of the building. If you build a box building, which will suffice for our purposes, versus one that has nooks and crannies and turns and the like, again, differences in cost, pros and cons. My proposal to the commissioners is to appoint a committee. It comes back in 2 months with three proposals or four different, and as estimated cost as close as we can. On that committee, I would highly suggest that the prospective commissioners be on that. I see three of you out here tonight. Now, I know that kind of puts you on the spot a little bit, but it can showcase your leadership abilities. I suggest that we come up with a plan that everybody, when we present it to the council, the committee, and all three commissioners can agree on. Squabbling about which is best doesn't get us anywhere. We just stay right where we're at. And if that INDOT audit comes back and says, I heard $1 million earlier today, that is at risk. So doing nothing has its cost too, or potentially.
Clarification on the $1 million there, Joe, and thank you. That money that they could stop us on is any federal grant money, federal funding for bridges, et cetera, et cetera. The $1 million that is a 50-50 match is the state money, and that question was asked whether our noncompliance that we are with ADA and Title VI that is being currently worked on, it will not affect that 50-50 match. So Terry and Gary just recognize that. But if we had a bridge out there that we were getting federal funding for, if we were currently in that process, that federal money would stop right there. The county would absorb the rest of the cost. But if we have a future funding program for a bridge or a road that's asking for federal money, can't apply. So this program is critical, and you're right, Joe. It is critical. And our ADA committee and our attorneys are working on that. He is talking about a desktop audit. We sent in the paperwork. They did a desktop audit. They came in and said, okay, did they do everything they're supposed to? Is it where they say it is? And right now, things were not in places they needed to be. So, but they are working on this committee, which is conjunction with our attorney, and it is critical. I don't know how else I can say it. If you guys want to draw out the source of funding opportunities, that's the direction you want to head. That's your decision. Apparently, my direction is make us qualify for the money. Joe, I appreciate your thoughts on organizing a committee. I know that Jeff Johnson has put hundreds of hours into gathering data, answering phone calls, calling the vendors, crunching the numbers. Jeff is a wonderful maintenance director.
Yes.
This is not in his job description. He is going above and beyond his job description and pay grade in efforts to save money for the county. Now, Jeff could easily say, commissioners, let me go back to doing what I normally am supposed to do and allow the professionals, which means spending money, to get a project manager in here, or another title, to facilitate bringing in all the different options and placing on it, and let Jeff get back to doing the best they can with what they have within their budget. So we spent roughly how much money on those designs, Jeff?
And I didn't tell you off the top of my head.
All right, it was several tens of thousands of dollars for those plans to be drawn up. What the public is asking, demanding, is spend more money on more plans for different options and different ideas. Sure, we could do that. Again, we're spending your money. Again, the council made their decision. It was a 2-1 vote for the commissioners to move forward with addition to this courthouse. The council denied it, turned it down to table it to the next commissioners. So if I had a crystal ball, those commissioners next year could do one of two things. Choose to ignore our courthouse more, or choose to move forward and make this an ADA compliant facility and a facility that can be worked for. Our voters need to ask those candidates what direction they're headed. Or at least those candidates need to make known to the public the direction they're leaning. We're wanting to kick this down the road. I'd like to know which way we're kicking it. And I think the voters need to know which way they're kicking it. Currently, you have two commissioners that are still on duty that says this has to be done. So that's my pitch. I do like the approach of a committee. It'd be my recommendation we get a committee formed also. But let's table that till next month. Have us time to think about, talk to our attorney, see what the makeup will be. We would need to converse with the council, get them involved with the committee. They need to be on board. Thank you for your comments, Joe. Appreciate it.
Joe, I appreciate your comments, really do. And I want to add, there was a gentleman in the audience at the joint meeting kind of yelling about this and that. Anyway, told him we had sworn an oath to obey laws. And in essence, the council are holding our hands in trying to obey the law for the citizens of the county, especially disabled people. I it just makes me sick that people have no respect for disabled. Some people have no respect for disabled people. Now I'm going to read a letter. I'm on the ADA committee. I think Teresa, she's here, she's on the ADA committee. And several others. I'm just going to read this and for what it's worth. The Americans with Disabilities Act is a federal law passed and implemented in 1990. This law states, in short, that all buildings and services must be accessible to all individuals, including those with disabilities. The Pulaski County government buildings are not compliant, with the exception of the Justice Center. As the acting Pulaski County ADA Committee, we have gone into great detail, studying our compliance levels, and have determined that with our current state of the courthouse, we're unable to meet accessibility guidelines. Compliance with the ADA law had a deadline of 2012, which means we had 22 years to become compliant. And as a county, we failed to do so. The current administration was not at fault, but is now the responsibility of all of us to right these issues. Therefore, it is a recommendation of the Pulaski County ADA Committee to take immediate action. After attending presentations and meetings concerning the courthouse addition, we understand that structurally, and listen here, structurally, we cannot become compliant with what we currently have. If building the addition is a way to remedy all of our ADA non-compliance issues, we as the ADA committee advise to do so. It is an expensive and difficult decision, but a necessary one. Sincerely, the Pulaski County ADA committee. That's all I have.
I received a letter also from, I'm looking this up here, Nick Gutwein from
Braun Mobility. Jeff, that came from you, correct?
I'm sorry, it was a letter?
That was a letter that was sent to you or emailed to you.
It was an email. It was a conversation I had. It was a conference call between myself, Nick Gutwein, and Cindy Garnett. And basically what they were saying was they would support whatever we needed to do to make the building safe and ADA compliant. As a company, they couldn't say they're for or against an addition or anything of that nature, but they do understand that the needs that we have here, and they support whatever it takes to make those repairs and ADA compliant.
Thank you very much. That was some big statements there from a major impact of our community. Again, we all know it no longer sits in the commissioner's hands. It sits in the council. Recommendation from me for our community is write the letters. We have to give them a phone call and demand some action and action delay until next administration is, in my mind, is not a great idea. Because whoever sits in this could say, we don't agree. And someone has told me once before, that's why we have insurance. Those are bad words to be including in any conversation in regards to lawsuits or a reason why we don't do something. Well, we have insurance, but we have to get sued. Bad, bad, bad. Okay, anything else?
What's coming shortly down the road, and I can almost guarantee this, the next conversation will probably be with the Department of Justice. So, that being said, that's all I have.
Terry, can we get out of here? I need to clarify one thing from my
gentleman.
I don't know with whom Mr. Cohn spoke to my office, but I did not have a secretary. I had two college student interns who were doing bill work for the work for us this summer, and I had a highly qualified part-time project coordinator with a master's degree who should be full-time and is not, because our county council is not considering how much work we're doing for this county. I would prefer you not disrespect somebody by giving her that title.
I prefer you to be able to respect that. I've been out there for three or four times, and your secretary has never told me.
I just said I don't have a secretary.
Whatever you want to call it. But I've been there.
I've seen you have
to come out straight the first thing out that we had talked, and I have still never been there.
Which thing is that?
You discussed it
from the altercation from earlier this year?
Yes.
You came to my office and we discussed it.
No, we did.
Yes, sir, we did. And then you told me you were coming to our annual meeting and tried to pay for it until I informed you that it was free of charge, but then you had to miss it because soil and I believe it was soil and water we scheduled for the same night. We had a conversation about this in February. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Nathan.
Oh, RB, come on up, please. How are you?
Hello, sirs.
Can I come before you tonight to
show me the other document?
Okay.
To either, I don't know what you'd call it, either amend the document or create a new document to send to Lightstream to give me access to our the financial side of our internet and email. We had some issues come up, and I tried to talk to them. They actually called me and said that I wasn't on the list to actually talk on the financial side of it. So,
RB and I have talked in regards to this earlier on. We did get a letter saying authorized that RB has the support of commissioners to work talk on our behalf in regards to direction of running the internet, computers, et cetera, anything dealing with Lightstream. That was there upon their request. We signed that letter, but they're just saying, well, no, we didn't have any chance to work with the building, which potentially could save us money. So instead of us getting involved with talking to Lightstream, RB is involved in this. He understands the direction we need to go. So with that, do you have any Questions for RV? Terry?
No.
With that, I'll make the proper way to do it. Yeah. With that, with no further discussion, I move that we sign the letter giving RV the rights to be able to discuss all the accounting needs in regards with the internet and email with Lightstream.
Thank you.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thanks, Sean.
You don't need one letter signed, right?
Just one letter.
Yep.
You want both of them signed?
You want one letter?
I was going to take a copy and you were going to take a copy. So and
that.
Then you were going to scan us and send us.
Sorry. Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, Teresa. How you doing?
Hello, Teresa. Good. Come on up here.
Thanks for your phone call the other evening.
Sure.
Sorry, we have to do this.
Yeah. Just here a couple things for the 4-H. We're getting ready to get started on everything with that. I've met with Terry and Gary. We have already had some ADA stuff done down at the fairgrounds. We had a study done through Purdue for our fairgrounds, and we're not in compliance on a lot of things, but we've already started our process. We started working on the bathrooms, and we're working on getting those in the one community center updated. I'm not sure how much we're going to be complete by the time fair gets here, because a lot of it's all volunteer work that we're doing on it, so we have been in place with that. With that, though, there's a lot of the entries to the buildings that over time the county highway garage has helped out a lot of the county. They have put the asphalt down and put stone down, and we're just needing to get some of that updated. It's sunk over the time over the water being down there. So there's a lot of places where it's not up to date, where we need to get some of the entryways to the buildings with some either some gravel and or some of the comics or whatever happens to be.
Terry, Gary, do you have any thoughts or concerns?
No, it was down there last week, and basically she says the issues, I guess, that are the top of the list, I guess.
Sure.
One is there's nothing down there, really. It's two times the same. Agreed, Gary, and bottom line is half of it.
Okay.
But
do you have any questions?
I could make motion there.
Okay. Have a motion to go ahead with the needed repairs down to the fairgrounds, then by the county highway.
I'll second.
Okay, second. And we will vote on that. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. The other thing would be is we use the equipment for the traction haul. Are we still okay with that too?
Helping out? Yes. I see some nodding heads. I support that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
fine.
Thank you.
Where are we meeting? Okay.
All right.
Doug Hoover. Building department, come on up. Excellent. Quentin.
Hi, Quentin.
Oh, hi.
Hey. Me, we got you.
Thank you, guys. We've got a tackle for you, for each one of you. I requested to get on the agenda just to give you guys a mid-year report. even though I've only been in there 5 months, I felt that I wanted to get with you guys and go over.
But it feels like a year, right?
Well, sometimes it does seem like a year. we don't have to go through this completely. But I just want to hit it, the highlights of it. Your first page here is basically the permits. We've got it broken down by residential, commercial, and ag exempt. You can see there how many we've done since the first of the year. As of,
Clinton, was that yesterday? Or?
Yes, as of, yes, I finished everything yesterday.
Okay.
Doug, for the record here, so Amber might want, if she needs numbers,
Great.
There's 70 residential permits, 12 commercial, for agricultural exempt. That's great. That's since mid-year.
Mid-year, yes.
January 1st to now.
And as you see in the middle of the page there, it's broken down by township.
Yes. Wonderful.
So for all it's worth, it just sort of gives you, shows you which township is doing more with the permits on that. On the bottom of the page there, we got the value, what's written on the permit, how much money is going to be they're putting into it. We got broken down again by residential, commercial, and ag construction.
You want to give us the total of those three categories?
Sure. Residential, as of mid-year now, that is, $1,200,000.
Excuse me, that's
$20,000.
And that's only for new homes. Like that has nothing to there's no money put in there in terms of like renovations, remodels, decks, pools. That's just strictly new homes.
New home construction.
Yeah, great. The commercial construction is a pretty good one. $13,737,400.
That's a home run.
That's a big one.
And of course, I don't. Quentin, are you? I know you're tech savvy here, and is there any way to go back in time on your free time? That not that you have a lot of that. And are we growing as a community in this value? You know,
yeah.
Go back in here.
We scan all of our permits, and so there's definitely, like you said, we don't have a ton of free time, but we ever have some of that. It would take some time, but yeah, you can definitely go back. And I think we have scanned permits from like back to 2014, I want to say. So,
and that'd be a good picture.
Yeah.
And to us, if I'm picking up a newspaper and I see a graph in there and I'm seeing that we're growing,
mm-hmm.
that's a great feeling.
Right.
If I see a graph that we're declining where we should be growing, then the light bulb goes on. We have some concerns here. Go ahead with your report, sir.
Okay. And then the last is agricultural construction at $229,000. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit on your graph. I think that'd be great. Unfortunately, just Quentin and I, we don't have a whole lot of time.
I understand that. That's why I
said that's down the road.
That's down the road here, yeah. But guess what, though? You started it now.
Okay? Yes, right.
And so 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Whoever's in this position,
mm-hmm.
they capture that information in a presentable format,
yeah.
and then those numbers can be crunched. But
yeah, and that's my goal. I want to be more, what do you call it?
Transparent with it.
Right, yeah. And I started.
I bet you would ask 100 people on the street today how much total construction value has come into Plaskett County. And I bet you would have 100% on coming in with the answers. I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So the misinformation out there is running amok. And this is data that is critical for people making decisions. It's critical for, do I want to invest in Pulaski County? Sure. This is just not for us as leaders. This is for the community, the future people that want to come to Pulaski County, outside of this county, coming here and saying, hey, I want to grow. Yeah. And this is a community here, county that's growing. So there's more than one reason why you collect data.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Page two, for all it's worth, I got the mileage that I've traveled since I came in on the 4th of February to the end of 6/15. 2,449 miles I've traveled. I do a lot of inspections, and I think a lot more than in the past. Now, I don't know what went on that. So, and then also, maybe by having this data too, maybe you guys will possibly get me a pickup.
Well, no, Doug, this is what the data they need as a council and a budget check. You take this form with you at council time. You sit down there, and I'm hoping to be here for these hearings, and we will point these numbers out. These numbers mean information that the council needs to know. How much in total construction value is coming to the county? This shows the overall value of your department and the need for more personnel to go out and do your job. Whether it be a vehicle, a computer, a camera, or whatever.
On second page, the very bottom there, Quint and I both have attended 3 conferences, and we're going to another one, if you guys approve it tonight, later in July, I believe. But we went to these conferences. I think conferences are good.
Thank you. God bless you.
I think it's a... I really do. I think if you just come out with 1 or 2 new ideas or something, plus you get to talk to other people. You talk to them and say, hey, what do you guys do or whatever, you know. I think that's a...
Is that called benchmark?
Yes, it is.
So that's my opinion on that, guys. Page 3, our revenue, we've broken it down. The revenue on, for example, contractor license. Contractor's license to date is $1,300. I'm not going to go through all of these here, but we break it down to like even porches, decks, broke it down to electrical, pool, all kinds of good stuff. So it's all broken down in different ones. Our grand total so far is almost $20,000, $19,946 we've taken in so far.
And I know from last year at this time, we had 2 commercial permits for the school at $5,000 a piece.
Yep.
And so with that 10 grand, I think even with that 10 grand added in last year, we're only right now, I want to say it was like $1,000 or $2,000 below what we were, and we don't have the, like, we haven't had 2 $5,000 permits coming in.
Correct.
So we're on, you know, you're
tracking upwards.
Exactly. We're gaining more revenue, and the school permits are actually going to have to renew here soon. So we're going to kind of prorate that. And so they've done 70% of the project, so we'll charge them, you know, 30% of that $5,000 permit.
Correct.
Okay.
And he's coming in next week.
Doug and Quentin, I think I heard the shout out from y'all about fees.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think I believe I responded my exact words. Please review. Please present so that we can do the necessary things. We got to get to 2016 instead of just giving the stuff away for free.
Sure.
And to add to
not
that,
totally free. Yeah, I get what I'm saying.
Add to that, right? We been with Stark County.
Yeah, I've got a copy of Cass County fee schedule, Stark County fee schedule, White County fee schedule, and our fee schedule. And I'm also going to present this. We are to the Planning Commission next Monday. And I'll get their thoughts on everything too. But we've got, you know, our surrounding counties fee schedule, and all of these have been updated in the last 2 years.
You've done your homework. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's what matters. And that's great.
Unfortunately, Plasback County fees are back in
2006.
So we haven't moved with the times. Are you saying that?
Yes.
And what is the right way to move, Doug?
I say we just move on and just start. And, you know,
that's a great attitude. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Last but not least is on that page 3, the light.
Yes.
You want to?
Sure.
That light?
Yeah.
I think this is a great program, guys.
Yes,
I really do.
So we, what was that, last Thursday, June 16th,
yeah.
We met with representatives, including Program Director Rihanna Bender,
yes,
for the Light Elimination Program. Now, the 2 guys in our spots before us initially applied for this program, and they were awarded $147,000 to demolish 12 houses in the county, 6 of them with a basement and 6 without. And so we have a list of those properties, but a lot of them are not, they don't meet the requirements for the blight program, and that's why the blight program kind of fell through in this town.
Correct.
And so we have, I have a copy of this letter if you guys want it as well. We filed an extension with them.
Okay.
And, you know, let them know in the letter, I explained to them, you know, we had staff turnover.
Yep.
We're trying to learn how to manage our workload.
Yep.
And, you know, get used to just the daily grind. And now that we've, you know, we've built trust between each other, between other departments, and we feel like we can, you know.
So there's a chance out there. We have $147,000 that awarded the Pulaski County.
Yes.
And because a few of the properties didn't qualify for one reason or another, there's a chance that we're going to lose the opportunity to use this $147,000 if that letter does not go through.
The letter should certainly go through.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but we're still going to be, you know, stressed for time with all this, even if this extension letter does go through. But we've already met with Bob Schultz over in Madarraville today, earlier this morning, and discussed it with him. You know, we would like to see a couple houses, you know, maybe Madarraville, Star City, Winnemac, Monterey, you know, where we can do something to benefit each little community.
Correct.
And, you know, slowly but surely start to make Plaska, you know, how we want it to be. So.
And we're very fortunate that they allowed us to make that extension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quinn and I didn't know. I mean, before us.
Yeah.
And we're very happy that they are. I think it's going to go.
Yeah, they seem like they're going to work with us. And they've only had a couple of counties, I think she said, that have completely lost their rewards for one reason or another. So yeah, we don't want to be one of those, whether we relinquish it or whether they take it. We want to use it, and it's there. So
we don't get these opportunities every day, gentlemen.
Right.
But we got to act fast.
Yeah. We plan to meet with, I stopped in Brad Zeller's office and talked with him a little bit, met with Bob Schultz, maybe the guys over in Monterey, you know, Star City, just kind of get a list of the most prevalent properties, you know, a list, we'll prioritize it, and, you know, the hottest ones we'll go after first. And
I want you to know that this does take time.
Oh, yeah.
And
Doug and Quentin, just catching you off guard here, what can we do for you?
Well, I would like to see Quentin full time, because I need him.
Okay.
I need him. And with that being said, I'd like to see maybe an intern or someone help, you know, doing some of this.
So let me help you with some additional information that I've had thoughts about. Whether locally we have a Work One that's providing federal dollars, none of the county dollars, for up to 500 hours of a youth. And there's another program that's not here that is on the senior level, where we have some seniors that are needing, that have federal monies that will pay them to come in, and it's a internship program where we help them and teach them, mentoring them, and so that's your, could be a source for additional help. A second one is reaching out to the universities, whether it be Ancilla College, Purdue University, et cetera, and ask for internships from the engineering departments and or public and community development programs to come in and be with us for 3 months. Put something like that in your budget. To budget, I don't know, $10,000 to go out and seek to be able to help pay for that intern. But those are just some thoughts. You're getting students that are needing knowledge, need to be able to pass on the knowledge. Helping you. Just some thoughts.
Sure. But we're not sitting there playing cards.
That's awesome. Glad you got any comments?
Thank you, Sue. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. When are we getting approved of hiring you?
I wanted you hired. And he's this one, Brian, coming here. Yes. He wasn't your friend to start with. You know, two-faced there in politics.
I disagree totally that this is the right venue for you to say those things, but we had two applicants. And, you know, you had to pick one. Both are qualified, each have their strengths and weaknesses. So, but yes, I'm willing to work with anyone, but even you. We attempt to work with everyone. It's my job and yours, I hope. Quentin, I'll use an example.
Sure.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Quentin, I need to know your strengths and I need to know your weaknesses. Yeah. And what am I looking for in my new hire? Are you going to meet the needs of my new hire with your strengths and weaknesses? I'm going to capitalize on your strengths, identify your weaknesses, get you to school to get those weaknesses to become strength, and guess what? I got an all-full employee. And any supervisor needs to be able to do that, identify who's staying or sitting in front of them. And if they want to be part of the team, whatever team that is, football, baseball, or a corporation, yeah, you're going to look at their weakness and strength, identify them, and is this what I need at this time in that position? You're correct. He was not my first choice. But I support him in what he's doing. Now, if you want to call that two-faced, you're more than welcome to do that, but you're putting on public record.
We thought you could put them to get him on there.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be there, Ben.
But guess what?
And you have two more guys sitting back here you did the same thing to.
Excuse me now. Doug, have I given you support since you got on board?
Yes, you have.
Done.
But until you got there, you didn't.
Well, all right. This is a conversation that you want to put on public record, bud, and if that's the way you want to go, I will do that. But as a leader, I think it's disrespectful to bring it to this position, this time and place for that discussion.
I think it's disrespectful when you put the paper about me.
Well, I know you. I know
let's stick to business. Let's stick to county business.
I know you're
personality, guys. No more. No more personal. The county business.
Thank you, Terry. Moving on.
So,
you did a great job, y'all.
With that being said, Quentin and I've got a lot of new ideas. I didn't have a lot to work with from the past person. So a lot of these, between him and I, talking to other people. And I think we're on the right track. We try it every day. And you can see, we write down things and...
Yep. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Just want to add, you guys, we never received such information like this. I know I stopped in and talked to you guys. You're usually gone by the time I get here, but thanks so much for being on top of things. He's got the answers. I ask him questions. If he doesn't, he'll look it up. This is
what we need.
Tremendous, guys. Tremendous work. And I know you guys kind of jumped into hornet's nest with some issues at the first year, and we're making it work. So,
yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to make a motion that we change Doug's hours to be more flexible with the contractors, give him more flexibility, maybe start an hour sooner.
That's a policy book decision. The policy of the committee has to bring that up. We discussed it,
yeah.
And I think it got turned down, or it was to be looked at more. I can't remember, Sheila.
It was tabled.
It was tabled. So that is a recommendation of being considered.
Yes. As of now, I come at 7.
It's working out okay with the contractors?
Oh, they love it. They love it. These contractors love it. They don't, after a certain time, they don't want to see you. Because they got things.
Well, we understand that.
And he comes in the later one. So we try. It don't always happen. But from 7 to 4, somebody there. Try.
Yeah. And if the council will approve Quentin to be full-time, then that works out a lot better, too.
Yeah.
So thanks for working with it.
Do you have any other things?
I think that's what, okay. Like I said, our fees and fines and stuff, I'm going to bring that to our planning commission meeting next week. And that's not the last year guys are going to see you. But
no, that's great. We need to change them.
The community needs to know we just invested $14,986,000 into this community. increasing our assessed value. And with our assessor back there, that's those are numbers that she celebrates, I believe, right?
Yes, but just for clarification, yep. Sometimes the dollar amount does not equate equally to
that's true. That is an estimate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
So thank you, but yes, I wanted to just point that out.
Yeah, well, that's good. Thank you. That's why we have.
And Holly, while you're here.
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot more cooperation between building department and your office.
It's wonderful.
Yes, appreciate that, you guys.
And whenever someone comes in and we're not sure if they should be getting a notice with us or their office, someone's usually there for us to call. And then we know, do they need to go to the building inspector's office or stay with us? It would be nice if we were in the same
yes.
building, but that's another conversation.
Well, we're talking to council.
We're trying. We're trying.
But yes, it's going great.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's all I got.
Thank you, guys. I mean, good housekeeping.
You know, I've had a lot of comments. One lady came in and said, oh, I'm in the wrong office. And I said, well, can I help you? Which office you want? She said, I'm looking for the building inspector's office. I said, well, this is it. She said, you got to be kidding me. It's so clean.
Well, great job, y'all.
Big changes are
real. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got more yet to come.
Is the computers working out? I think.
Well, we still need. Yeah, they're working. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. RV still got some more.
Yeah.
So we're not done yet. But.
Right. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'll get in touch with one another.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Yeah. Okay.
The sheriff's here. But
Sheriff Fritschwein.
He's in the.
Oh, he's
there. Yeah.
So, yeah, you get up there, please.
If you want to, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Clinton. It's a good work.
Ain't getting rain. Holy smoke, went right over, dude.
Got a couple of sprinkles at home.
Did you? That's more than I got. I just got just some information sharing things with you, and then I'll be done. I got a letter here from John, the our animal control guy. He's running into some issues on quarantines. He doesn't have anywhere to quarantine an animal that's involved in a dog fight.
Yeah.
So we've got some verbal agreements with PAC and the Stark County Humane Society. He's had some issues where, you know, they're full and he just doesn't have any place to keep these. I think he's done a good job, though. I don't know if it's the proper thing to do. He'll have people hold on to the dog and quarantine it themselves and all that. So basically that's what his letter says. You guys can read that.
Jeff, we could support you. You know, I would support you in, you know, whether we need to just look to the council in the budget time to say, hey, we just need a miniature place we can use as a quarantine facility. And all the other ones would not go there. It's just
just for that when we can't get it.
Yeah. Whether I don't know where you would put it at, but you know, I think you would have our support, at least my support. But I know we don't have money budgeted right now, but that'd be a good budget item topic for under buildings and under the buildings thing and trying to accommodate that need for the community.
Yeah, no, all right, we'll do that.
You know, if you need a motion on that, I can make that a motion. That way you can, you know, give you permission to say, hey, this is, we have to support the commissioners on it currently. But do you have any comments on that, if I make that a motion?
No.
Terry, so I'm going to make a motion that we give the sheriff permission to proceed in
attempting to come up with a plan of action for a quarantine structure to be established for animal control officer.
All right, thank you for that.
Could we possibly find one of our fairly well-off abandoned buildings that we can commandeer, make sure it's electric and there's water, and secure it and secure the animal there as the quarantine, but make use of a building that needs to be...
That's possible there.
I mean, you have how many structures around that like that? I think two or three, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
I thought.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll look into it, and I just wanted to make you guys aware. Yeah. And then I wanted to thank RB and Dave Kane. They came in at Father's Day, worked 12 hours. We did a major upgrade on the CAD and RMS and the dispatch center. It's just part of the work that I've been talking about here for a long time to get that forward. So they both did an excellent job there and got that finished. In our hiring process, we've got two people moving forward to, they get interviewed by the merit board next Monday. One of them is a deputy right now with, Cass County, and then one of them is an employee in our dispatch center. So, they're moving forward. And just a little story on the jail. One of the things that I don't think we realize what goes on in our jail, we had a, inmate in there that was detoxing off of alcohol, and the jailers have been dealing with this guy for about a week now. We've had to take him to the hospital. It's hallucination. It's a horrible thing to watch somebody go through, but it's it kind of opened my eyes because I didn't realize that until you see it, what a guy goes through that's detoxing off of alcohol. And we had to take him to the hospital because it's an event that they can die from.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's be held liable.
It's one of those deals you really got to watch. And I think the jail staff did a good job with him. This guy had to be tased, had to be held down, and all his clothes taken off because he would they're out of their mind until they detox. Now, today he's a whole different story almost, you know, where he's sitting there and you can talk to him and reason with the guy, and he's a whole different deal. But he, for a week, it's a handful for jail staff to handle. So just a story so people know, you know, just what goes on in our jail sometimes. And that's it.
I guess I've been full of good compliments today, Sheriff. So I'm not
searching for those, Larry, but I appreciate it. I want people to understand what goes on in the sheriff's office because it's a whole different game. Mm-hmm. Than,
yes. Yep. Until you have a heart attack, you can't imagine what a person's going through. And once you have that heart attack, then you can sympathize or be sympathetic to it. The things you guys go through, it's a special person. It takes a special person. And the unknown things need to be known. And I thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
How's the garden?
Doing good. They need some rain, but Jeff's got a hose rigged up there, yeah. So they water it with a hose.
Is that on an automatic timer?
No. They take inmates out there, okay. Stretch the hose out, turn it on, and come back out and put it away.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, anyone else?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Take care. All right. Sheila?
I have a request for conference approval for Holly Vandray for her state call meeting. I have a request from Doug Hoover for him and Quentin to go attend July 21st to the Indy IBC conference. I have a request for Terry Ruff to attend drainage school. And Gary. And then Sherry Gaylor to attend legal issue classes and comprehensive emergency management plan class at Camp Atterbury.
I have a comment here, a question. Terry's in the audience. Terry, I know you need the school and it's great. I'm glad you're going. Is there anyone else that could go also?
have me talk to Jenny.
That would be great.
Is there any of your other crewmen or your foremen or anything like that?
No, I mentioned Luke Anspaugh.
Okay.
He's a potential new bridge crew
foreman.
The bottom line is he's getting married the weekend before,
okay.
So he's got other plans, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I also mentioned it to Mr. Crone, being he's on the drainage board.
Yes.
Possibility there.
I've been to this training, and it's wonderful.
It's from Bureau.
Yeah. Yep. But Terry, if you know, if you need to find anyone else, I would make the motion to accept the conference request, and if additional employees from the County Highway need to be added to that list, I would make the motion to include those. You don't need you wouldn't need our support any further if you have it, if you, two or three other people, but.
Thank you, guys. We went last year, we thought it was worth going back.
Yes.
Or is your motion clear? Always on?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Then I will ask for a second. Hold on. Okay, motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Conference is all approved.
2017 budgets. What I would like for you to do, this will give you plenty of time. I did the paper. And the only reason I did the paper was because you could go through and change Mark. If there's any possibility that you could look at this stuff and then try to have it back to me by Friday so that if I need to make changes, I can. And then I'll have you sign it at the next commissioner's meeting.
Okay. Sheila?
That way you can look and if there's something that changed. On the Board of Commissioners one, we are making some adjustments that some of the maintenance and contracts, telephone, cell phone, is going through RB. It'll be put through his budget instead of the commissioner's.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be missing a few items on there if you look at last year's. But if you'll take a look at them and if there's any changes you want, probably the hardest one will be the Board of Commissioners. CUME, Cedar County Share, and Jail Lease Rental, those two amounts are what's on the amortization schedule.
Yes.
County elected officials, that is strictly for county elected officials. So anybody that's elected can go, can use that fund.
Correct.
Statewide 911, I do have reports if you need to look at them.
Correct.
But if you need something changed, if you'll just make your changes on your papers and then drop it off, that's what I'll put in there.
Sheila, I've got a question on the one.
Okay.
With the commissioners and council, are we looking for a human resource director?
It's put in there. I mean, they can deny it.
It's got to be asked for, but it could be denied.
And I talked to Jay regarding the commissioners and the council's wages, and he told me to up at 10%, and I did. So them two things you really can't change.
But how this has worked, yes. I believe the county needs a human resource director. And it's not on a proposed budget. We can't come in after the fact. They can line it out and we can't get it, and that's fine. But we can't add it after the budget. Without asking for an appropriation.
You'd have to do an additional.
Additional. So this council will determine what next year's budgets are and whether we're going to have a human resource director or not.
Okay, you're saying the council.
Correct.
But does the commission have the right to decide what we do on
you? Well, this is where you, sir, and can say, I move that we don't ask for a human resource director, and then make that a motion. If you want to do that.
I'm just asking.
But yeah, we have it, and this is our commissioner's budget. So we, just like last year, we put down an IT director. And finally, a couple of years we've been asking for that, and a human resource director. And the council says, last year, yes, let's move forward with an IT director, but we're going to not approve the human resource director. And that's what they did, they lined through it. But we can't ask for it and attempt to budget for it. We have to get it on the paper first.
You have to ask for it and then put the amount in there that you need, And then always remember that it will not go up to what you request. They can cut it, but they'll be the ones to make the decision whether they're going to fund it or not.
So they could say that $50,000 we put as a proposed UNT resource budget, salary, whatever you want to call it, they could turn it down to $45,000 or $40,000. They won't say, well, let's make that $75,000.
Right.
They can't do that. They can only go with what's been asked and down. It's the county's budget way of doing things. I don't know about a corporation, but our hands are tied that way. So if we don't ask for it, it's not going to be considered. But if we ask for it, it can be considered and then turned down. At least we know that we asked for it. And go ahead.
Okay. How do you think this would benefit everybody, human resource person?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'd ask Sheila.
Well, I think that might take some heat off of the office, because doesn't Sheila's office have to do a lot of that?
Yes.
And certainly seems like a good idea, but I know in the past we've had employees taken away in my office and the auditor's office, and we really need those employees back. So the quick answer is yes, that would be great.
Do you think we'd be cut some of the attorney work out for him too?
Well, no, I'm not going into
it. Just ask Sheila too. Would it?
What?
Yes, I'll answer all your bad things, but you're correct. Yeah. If you cut down the workload of our attorney, because we now have a qualified, certified human resource director that Sheila's not bouncing back and forth, new owner wouldn't be bouncing back and forth. We now have one person to go to that's had that training, that expertise, and they could advise and work with the attorney. And yes, it would reduce the amount of time she has to work with the attorney, because she already has the answer. The reason we use our attorney is because we're throwing up our hands in here, because not every scenario is in our policy book, or not every state regulation is being absorbed by Sheila or our attorney. So a human resource director will go offer continuing education, training, and go to. Plus, he or she would have her own office. And if Gary, I'll use an example if you don't mind. If Gary has a personal problem or a problem with something, he's coming into a private office, dealing one-on-one, and it's kept there. If currently, as it is, I have a problem, I need to talk to Sheila. I come to the office, Sheila, I have a human resource question, answer, can we go back in the vault? Four people already know that Gary has a problem that needs to talk to Sheila in private about in regards to human resources. And human resource needs to remain private, confidential, because they need to trust someone. I'm not saying your office has spread it, but it's open to public. You're standing there in public talking about a personal problem that you may have. So, yes, but I think it would be a great addition. We had to put down a number, and that number could be adjusted, and that position could say yes or no. We can't get it unless we ask for it. And we're trying to help out the future administration. They may not know. You may be a human resource expert. I don't know. But believe me, the phone calls come to direct the dust commissioners from Sheila. What do we do? Well, I'm not a human resource expert. Terry, are you?
No, I'm not.
Bud, are you a human resource expert? But we have to get the phone calls. And we got to make a decision. So if I don't have a person to go to, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Sheila, you want to add anything?
Mm-mm.
All right. Okay, thank you, Sheila, for your extra efforts on this report. I will definitely get this back to you by Friday without getting any changes.
Bud and Terry, if you look at them and you see something that needs to be changed or you question, please mark it, highlight it, or whatever, and then if you can have it into me by Friday.
And then in July, August, Bud, when they're here at budget time, that's when the commissioners come in. And what I've done in my term is come in and actually sit during that week for the most part. I can't be there 100% of time. And I'm helping our department head if they have questions or if the council's asking. But when it's the commissioner's time to come in, we come in and we approach the council and we discuss. So Sheila does schedule it. In the past, Sheila has been the only one representing the commissioners. But that was before I got myself involved in the process. So we're fighting for our department heads, for or against, whatever it might be the case. We need to represent our department heads and their needs and wants. And we need to be doing that even before the budget time. We go down, talk to them. Have you thought about this? What direction are you thinking about going? And then when it comes to budget time, we're not being caught off guard. So sit down face-to-face time with your department heads.
Okay. The next is the ordinance for adopting internal control standards. We have to have something in place by June the 30th as a start, and then all the procedures from here until December have to be done by commissioner or by the department heads to get internal controls in place requested by the state. And we've got the first part of it done. It's very minimal, but it'll get us started.
And this is where the human resource person would come in.
Yes, they would.
That's very, for the audience, I'm going to read it real quick so they know what it's all about. But whereas Plaska County, Indiana is an equal opportunity employer, and whereas it's the intent of the County of Plaska to comply with applicable federal and state of Indiana employment laws and regulations, and whereas the Indiana State Board of Accounts under IC Code 511-127 have defined the acceptable minimum level of internal control standards for internal control system of political subdivisions, including control environment, risk assessment, control activities, information, and communication and monitoring. Now therefore be it ordained and established by the County of Pulaski, Indiana Board of Commissioners, that this Indiana Code 511-127 is hereby adopted this 20th day of June. That just shows you how important this human resource is going to be, and it just something has to happen. With that said, I'll entertain a motion to assign this, Larry and Bud.
Make a motion to assign.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, motion and second to sign the internal control standards paper.
Some of our internal control stuff we are already doing.
Right.
But the departments that handle finances is where the double checks and checks and balances are coming from.
Whoever receives cash or
and where it goes
checks.
Next, where it goes next.
And how it got there.
So I got a motion a second.
All in favor.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
And last but not least is a letter from the Indiana Department of Environmental Management regarding a notice of decision approval effective immediately, and it's got to do with Galbraith.
That's this information?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want all three of these signed, Sheila, or you just get...
No, you just signed the one that I marked.
All right. Go ahead. Okay.
Sorry about that. That's
all right.
When this particular ordinance, when it gets done, that has to be copied and sent with the annual report in February. So...
That is a monster program right there, another avenue for the state to withhold funding from us. And if we don't have this internal control program in place, gives them tools in their toolbox to slap us on the wrist to force us to comply with the regulations.
Can I ask, what was the Galbraith document?
Huh?
What was the Galbraith document?
It is a... FESOP renewal for permit.
Yeah. I think they're modifying some of their equipment, air exchangers, or along those. Okay.
Before you approve these, I had printed out the joint session.
Mm-hmm.
I left a paragraph out.
Okay.
Okay. And I got a phone call to please put it in. So I have, yes. Would you please pass that on? Because I don't know if all of you got to see what I added. Yes. Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Move to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay. A motion and a second to approve minutes.
Aye.
All in favor, aye. Aye. Motion carried.
Payroll is fine. I don't have any questions.
I'll entertain a motion to approve payroll. It's submitted.
Make motion to approve the payroll.
I'll second that.
Motion and second to approve payroll. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Claims? Any questions, Sheila?
No.
Move to approve claims as presented.
A second.
Motion and second to approve and sign claims as presented also. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Another place.
I'm going to hand that to Larry.
There we go.
If you get both sides.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was there any further comment from the public?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Maybe I need a little clarification.
Sure.
You guys had approved that RB could go ahead, his letter to Lightstream.
Sure.
To, you know, discuss the internet and the email.
And the billing.
Yes, that goes with it. My question is that according to the letter, it gives him the authority to make decisions for all of the county accounts. Are those decisions needing to go before you guys first, as they would in any other regard, or is this just to discuss?
As of what I've known, every time he's trying to make a decision, he's contacting me, and I'm assuming attempting contact, but...
Because that's not the way the letter reads. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. RB, do you need to redo your letter? Are you making decisions on behalf of us?
No, what ends up happening is so that what we're doing is we're looking at getting some discounts through Lightstream or finding some discounts through Lightstream. And we had a bill for them this year recently, the last week and a half, that was a very high bill, and at that point, I contacted Lightstream to discuss the bill with them, because I'm over the IT and the internet and email, and they would not discuss that with me at that point in time. So we have to revise what, it would be decision-making, yes, but the decision-making would be as I would come in front of the board and ask for, hey, this is the direction I want to go. This is the amount we want to pay. Can we go this direction?
So the decision making is more in regards to Lightstream, and then you'll still take it before the commission.
Yes.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I said I needed clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Per discussion with the commissioner or something, does that need to be added to this document?
We could add that.
Yeah. Oh, if we need to recite it, we can, or...
Well, the way you guys made the motion was, at least from the way I understood the motion.
What I said out loud, what the letter said?
Correct.
Yeah.
You said a motion was made for him to discuss the accounting,
okay.
To discuss it. But then in the letter, it actually says to make decisions. And that's why I was questioning.
Okay. Need to amend the motion to add... Per discussions, Chief, amend the motion to, in regards to RB, to add per discussions with the commissioner. Plastic County Board of Commissioner gives RB, IT Director, all the authority to make decisions with county actions in regards to our internet, email, Lightstream, for all the county accounts in regards to your internet, email, or live stream, per discussions with the commissioners. I need a second for that amendment.
I'll second the amended motion.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second to amend the motion for the light stream letter. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. No.
Any other public comment there? Questions, concerns?
Entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
I follow you down.
Oh, okay. So yeah, if I get this.